Well, let's pray before we get started. So, Lord, just thank you for your word. And thank you that you still speak to us today through your word. And Lord, just please give us the ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in this sermon series, it's entitled, What is Mission? We're going to be addressing some of the more common myths that people believe when we think about the word mission. Because what does it mean to be missional? Because that's become such a buzzword throughout churches in recent years. And as Christians and members of a church, I'm sure we all know or at least hold some form of belief that mission it's important. And that churches should strive to become more missional. I mean, I wouldn't even be here if this church didn't think that mission is important. I mean, you all hired me to try to help this church figure out how to better engage in mission. And I've been given the title Parish Mission Enabler. It's kind of a weird title. And it's a challenging job. It's a challenging job because I think so many of us, and I'm including myself here, we hold on to some misconceptions of what it means to be missional. So my hope is that this series, along with the mission training day that's going to be on the 5th of October, it'll help us out with some of this. But it's this first myth that we're going to be talking about today. I think it's probably the hardest one. It's hard because the church has been operating out of this assumption for the past, few hundred years. So we got a bit of baggage. And this first myth is that we're going to be looking at is that we believe that the purpose or the mission of the church is to save the world. And the church believed for a long time that the mission of the church was to send out missionaries into the world to mediate God's salvation amongst the heathens and impose our Christian values upon other cultures. So in other words, we are both the recipients and the distributors of God's salvation. So it's so commonly understood that mission is the work that the church does out there. But as for us in here, we're fine, right? I mean, we believe all the right stuff. It's the rest of the world that needs to be sorted out. So that's the belief that we held, is that it was the mission of the church to go out and sort out the rest of the world and to get them to believe like us. Behave like us, and just kind of act like us, look like us. Make for a pretty boring world, though. So, but in David Bosch's book, I'm going to point to a few books in a bit, but in David Bosch's book, it's called Transforming Mission. He says, during the past half century or so, there's been a subtle but nevertheless decisive shift towards understanding mission as God's mission. Meaning, God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Then the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. Then the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are building their church and sending them out. But mission begins and ends with the work of the triune God. And I think this reading from Colossians, it really puts it in perspective. So I'm going to read just the first bit again, beginning at 15. Says the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus told his disciples that he will build his church. And he also told his disciples that the Holy Spirit will come to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So salvation, in every regard, is the work of God. If you guys haven't figured it out just yet, I'm not a particularly gifted preacher or teacher. And trying to teach these big concepts in a short amount of time like we have here and in a setting like this, I don't care how good you are, it's nearly impossible. But this concept has come to be known as Missio Dei, or the mission of God. And at the mission training day, we'll have a lot more time just to really think this through. So I really encourage you guys to go to this. But in the meantime, I do have a few books that I brought along with me that has really helped me understand this whole concept of Missio Dei and what it means to be actually the church in the midst of God's mission. I'm not going to even try to describe you what they are about because I'm not going to sell them to you at all. So I'm just going to say the names, who wrote them, and please, if you're interested at all, read some reviews online. These are very respectable people. Leslie Newbegin, The Open Secret. I think that's probably my favorite one. It's not the easiest thing to read, none of these are, but it is brilliant. And then there's Transforming Mission by David Bosch, a very well-respected, as you can see, not a light read, but definitely worth looking into. And then there's this one, too, just talking about how God's mission is the grand narrative of the whole Bible. The Bible is just one giant story of God's saving mission. And this is his argument, by Christopher Wright, so the mission of God. And again, not the easiest thing to read, but it's worth the effort. So if you're interested, yeah, come look through those. So like you said, that's just a handful of books that I just grabbed this morning. There are thousands of other books on the topic, but if I had to just summarize it here in just a nutshell of what the concept of Missio Dei means, I would say that it's the idea that God is already out at work, out in the world. And he's calling his people, the church, to join in the work that he is doing. So mission is not about us blindly going out into the world with our own agenda. But rather, to be missional means to go into the world and looking for these glimpses of God's kingdom, searching for where God is at work. And all of this is kind of is reflected in our gospel reading from this morning. And I just chose a little bit because I thought, well, the whole of chapter 9 in John, it's a very interesting story. So I thought I'd paraphrase the rest. So one day, Jesus and his disciples, they were walking and they came across this man who was blind from birth. And the disciples asked Jesus, "So who sinned here, this man or his parents? I mean, who's to blame for this? Why is he blind?" And Jesus answered, "Well, it's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." So then Jesus spits in some dirt and makes some mud and he puts it on the man's eyes and tells him to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam. So Jesus doesn't bother asking the man, "Well, do you want to be healed? Or is it okay if I put some spit mud in your face?" Like, he just does it. So the man, he was a well-known beggar, he just does what Jesus said. He goes down and washes the mud off his face, and for the first time in his life, he can see. And then this man, he walks back into town, and like I said, he was a well-known blind beggar. Everybody knew who he was. And he's walking through town, and people recognize him. And they stop him. "What just happened to you? How is it that you can see?" And so the people are just amazed. And they automatically just associate this like, God must be doing something here. So what do we do? How do we make sense of this? So what they did, they take him, this man, to the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees are the teachers of God's law. I mean, if anybody's going to know a miracle, then it's got to be these guys, right? They're the religious elite. So they take the man to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they hear the story. And what the first thing that they point out of this story is, wait a second. Isn't this the Sabbath? I mean, surely. No, God doesn't allow things like this to take place on the Sabbath. So this man, Jesus, that you're talking about did this to you. We have nothing to do with him. Because God wouldn't allow things like this to happen on the Sabbath. And we would know, right? I mean, we're the religious elite. But the Pharisees, they still wanted to understand this. So they brought in the parents of the blind man. And the parents kind of pushed through their son underneath the bus and said, "Our son is old enough to fend for himself. Let him talk to you guys," because they were at risk of being kicked out of the synagogue too. And so they call the blind man back in and say, "All right, explain this to us one more time, please." And then he just tells them. It's like, "I've told you already, and you're not going to listen." And so the Pharisees, they just insist, "Well, this man has got to be an imposter. He's got to be one of the disciples of Jesus, and he's trying to mislead people into following him." And the man just asked them bluntly, "How can you guys just not see this for what it is? Just a few moments ago, I was blind, but now I can see. If that's not a miracle from God, then what is it?" They hated that answer. So they got just annoyed and frustrated, and they kicked him out of the synagogue. And that's where this morning's reading picked up. Jesus finding this man who was blind, then healed, and kicked out of the synagogue. So then Jesus asked, "Well, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Messiah, God's promised Savior to this world?" And the former blind man, when he heard this, he just knew who he was talking to, and he just worshiped him. Because you see, Jesus is God. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And God is free to do whatever he wants. He's not confined by the Sabbath, or to only operate within the understanding of the Pharisees or the religious or ourselves. And he's not confined to the church. "For by him all things were created, and all things will be reconciled through him. He is the beginning and the end. His work expands so far beyond the church and beyond our comprehension." So what might our missional efforts then look like? If we held the belief that, yes, of course, the Holy Spirit is in us and is with us and does work through us, but he's also at work beyond us, out ahead of us. So if this view is true, then where does our mission begin? Does it start from a place of, okay, we've got God with us, so let's go out and identify some needs out in the world and come up with some solutions and try to fix these people's needs? Like, there's nothing wrong with taking that approach. That's actually good work and things that we should be doing. But that's not our starting point. So, should our starting point then be, well, let's run some more programs and some events. Let's run more alpha courses. Let's tweak our services a bit so that more people will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Again, these are all very worthwhile things that I think we should be doing, but I'm not entirely convinced that that's what it means to engage in God's mission. So what if our starting point was by doing what Jesus told his disciples to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What would it look like if we put our agendas on hold for a while? Instead of trying to do the next great event or the program, we just kept our eyes open, looking for those glimpses of God's kingdom, for where he's at work. So what if our starting point for our next missional project was to walk through town or just observe the people around us at the places that we work or in our neighborhoods and be asking the question, where do we see the things that remind us of Jesus? Or is something that might reflect how Jesus described the kingdom of God? Expecting to see the works of the Holy Spirit through those around us. I mean, do we do that? Or do we still hold on to that idea that we're supposed to be taking the Holy Spirit to the people? Let's not make the same mistake that the Pharisees made by believing that we are the custodians of God and that it's up to us to take him out into the world. Please don't misunderstand me. I know as the church, we've been entrusted with the message of the gospel. And it's vital that we share that. We've been entrusted with this gift. That doesn't change the fact that the Holy Spirit is at work in other people's lives, calling them to himself. And when Jesus healed the blind man, it exposed the Pharisees' blindness. When the work of the living God was laid out right under their noses, they couldn't see him. And I'm convinced, in fact, I just know it's true, that the Holy Spirit is out there calling people to himself, leading people to love one another. He's setting people free. I've seen it. And he's building his kingdom all around us. And he's inviting us to take part in what he is doing. Not only in here, but out there. So Lord, please, open our eyes to see what you're doing in this world today. And above that, please give us the courage to join you. Amen.